Welcome to the Agricultural Economics Podcast. This is your host, Jessica Eyes, and I'm actually not here with my co-host today. Well, he's not my co-host today. He's my interviewee. We're going to be talking about a very interesting study abroad program that is going to be happening in Belize. And we have two guests with us here. Dr. Ken Foster, welcome.
Hey, Jessica, how are things?
Things are going very well, thank you.
Fantastic.
And we have Colleen Kelly, who is International Programs Development Specialist, and they've been working together. My first question is, Ken, how does it feel to be on the other side of the microphone?
Feels great. It's a lot better this way. I don't have to think as hard.
You just have to answer the questions.
Exactly.
I pitch at you?
Yeah.
Colleen, how are you?
Very well, thank you.
Great. Where did the seed of this idea get planted in your mind?
It was actually probably from a failed attempt to get another study abroad program off the ground. I tried at a different institution, tried to get another study abroad program to kind of a hard sell location, India, in the summer, College of Ag students. It didn't go. We didn't recruit the number of students, and I really believe in learning from your failures, and so I went back and thought about everything from the student's perspective. Because in that opportunity, we had a lot of things going for us. Institutional support, these big names associated with two universities, and it still fell flat. You really realize that studying abroad is almost like kind of like a market-based decision. Like you have
to give the students what they want. So what Colleen is saying is that this time there's going to be no big names involved because that obviously didn't work.
No, it's not that. It made me do like a little bit of a review of things that are most important to students. And so based on that criteria, I arrived at Belize absolutely being a no-brainer. And I had been to Belize before in the past. And whenever I showed up here at Purdue in the fall, I was kind of given a task to develop some proposals for new study abroad programs. And literally in my first meeting, I was like, before the meeting, I went and checked to see what our activity was in Belize. And I was like, why aren't we working in there? And who do we know that has a connection with Belize in the College of Agriculture? And that's essentially how it started.
That's how Ken's name came up. But a quick question before I get to Ken here on this. What makes Belize a no-brainer?
Getting back to the things that students want.
Right.
So it has to be economical, cheap. It has to be English-speaking. If you're also in an Indiana winter and you want to maybe do a spring break or a winter break short-term program, you want to go to somewhere where it's warm. There is much more student interest in doing short-term programs as opposed to longer-term ones. And so then you need to think about proximity. And so Belize is fairly close. It's warm. It's English speaking. It's kind of at that sweet spot for people that are getting their travel training wheels of being developed, but then still a little bit like exotic, I would say. Then whenever you think about Belize itself, there is just so many fascinating components to it. It's a very small country, but it's very ethnically diverse. It's facing a lot of really unique challenges, which would be just an ideal learning laboratory for students, and especially at the nexus between agriculture and tourism. And there's a little bit of overlap, actually, between those two things.
Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
And so you were pointed in the direction of Ken once you demonstrated interest in that. So, Ken, why don't you tell us, how do you know Belize?
So in the 1980s, I lived and worked in Belize for 3 years and worked on an agricultural research station, conducted some research there, as well as taught in a post-secondary agricultural college at the time. I know a little bit about Belize agriculture. I know a little bit about Belize's culture and know some people there that now, you know, some of my students have grown up and they're in very interesting positions to help us.
You were there with the Peace Corps?
I was there with the Peace Corps.
How'd you get sent to Belize of all places?
Well, I don't know. The Peace Corps is a government agency, so I'm not sure anybody knows the workings of the Peace Corps, Jessica. Let's just say that I was offered 3 other countries before Belize finally worked out. I did not turn down any of those 3 other countries. It would be like, oh, you could go here, and then they would call me again a week later and say, oh, that's not going to work out, but you could go here. And eventually the last stop was Belize, and I said either I'm going to Belize or I'm going to get a real job and stay in the U.S. So Belize was just the place. It just worked out that way. So I had not been back to Belize for over 30 years until last spring break, and so went down and renewed some contacts and checked out some things. And Colleen sort of hinted at it. Belize is this amazing natural laboratory for students in an incredible number of dimensions. So it's got the second largest barrier reef on the earth, second to Australia. So there's this rich offshore ecosystem. In Central America, probably the largest untouched rainforest areas. Just an incredible biodiversity. And then it's got very, very rich mixing of human cultures. Everything from the Mayan culture, which of course dates back for a long time as an indigenous culture in America, and has great connections to agriculture and food and just a rich culture. Some of the best Mayan ruins that have been preserved are in Belize. The Garifuna people, which I think most people are not familiar with that group of people, but they populate the Caribbean coast of Central America from Belize all the way down to Colombia.
And this is the Garifuna?
Garifuna, yeah. They're black people. Originally, their ancestors were from Africa. They were brought there by colonists to be enslaved to harvest mahogany. But before they could be enslaved, they either escaped or their ships were shipwrecked and they've settled along that coast, and they still maintain a lot of cultural ties, you know, loosely. I don't think, you know, they speak their own language, which they call Garifuna, which traces back to West Africa. And they, you know, they have some very distinctive dietary and cultural interests that link, again, to food, which is, you know, something that we're interested in. And then there's a large Hispanic population there that either immigrated from Mexico during various civil wars in Mexico or from the rest of Central America during some of the strife that's more recent in places like El Salvador and Guatemala. So again, they bring a really rich interest in foods and cultures, and then the more indigenous Creole population, which would be the sort of, many of them would trace their ancestors back to people from Africa who were enslaved to harvest mahogany. And then finally, there's this group of Mennonites who have populated parts of Belize, and many of them now are third generation residents of Belize. I mean, they're Belizean citizens. They consider themselves Belizean. Other people from Belize consider them Belizean, and their tie to agriculture is very commercial. I mean, they produce a vast majority mm-hmm. of the food for the country, you know, corn, soybeans, cowpeas, sorghum, and they add value through a lot of that to through poultry and cattle and dairy production for the country. So just a whole bunch of people there that bring interesting intersections of culture and food, and all live in relative harmony in this mm-hmm. tropical paradise.
That's really interesting. So Colleen was trying to find a program, a new innovative program, a little bit off the beaten track, right? And you were directed towards Ken, who had this long history there in Belize, and you're pulling something together. Now, what exactly is this program going to be?
Well, I sort of see maybe a couple of phases of this program. Mm-hmm. The ultimate goal is to have a service learning course, and Colleen is the educational expert, so she'll speak much more intelligently to what service learning means. But the way I see it is, you know, we want to develop sort of a short week-long program that's the traditional study abroad trip, where we tap into some knowledge and information, get students familiar with it, but then this service learning would be a little bit more focused project. Maybe working with a community or a partner there to develop something specific. And so we sort of see the shorter, simpler study abroad program as maybe a feeder to that mm-hmm. service learning project.
Colleen, what do you feel that students take out of a service learning class that they wouldn't get out of a normal study abroad or a normal classroom experience?
I've been immersing myself in the literature of all this. I'm actually finishing up my doctoral degree in youth development and agricultural education. International service learning occurs at the intersection of three types of learning. So you have study abroad, and there's very many different outcomes that are associated with study abroad, like at the student level, for the institution, for the whole nation. On the individual level, you have things like intercultural competence, the effectiveness of how well you can communicate with other cultures to accomplish a project or a task. Then you have service learning. So service learning does not have to be international. It really fits in with the engagement piece that is at a land-grant university. And so that's about working with community stakeholders in a servant kind of capacity to co-collaborate and find a useful solution that addresses a societal need. And then you have international education. So international education, again, does not necessarily have to occur in an international context, but one of the big things is that we have to prepare students for a very globalized world, and so it's essential that they understand different cultural perspectives. Think global, act local, and how the local and the global are really very intertwined, and change happens rapidly. It's kind of the whole butterfly effect. So if you imagine a Venn diagram of those three things, at the intersection of all three of those things is international service learning. So it carries a bit with it about study abroad, service learning, and international education. So it has essentially can concentrate some of the best of each one of those things into one very high impact experience. It's a high impact pedagogy. The reality of the situation is also that it would concentrate all the problems of each into one experience.
High impact, but also highly challenging to coordinate, perhaps.
Yeah, that's true. And also, I'm really excited to be here at Purdue because there's so many institutional things that are in place to support this type of deep engagement. It's part of the strategy for the university and the College of Agriculture to really prepare students to be engaged global citizens. And there's things in place like the Purdue Moon Scholarships, which makes my job so much easier and more exciting, to help support students in the top concern that they have is paying for international experiences. You have the International Study Abroad Office that does things like SAIL grants, which are grants for faculty to then go and explore a location so that they can create a program. Imagine what it would be like without these things in place. You have students footing the bill for everything without these scholarships. Without funds in place to help faculty explore these things, without incentive structures, so like the promotion and tenure process has been written to emphasize potential faculty members' international capacities. Without these things in place, there's very low incentive for faculty to be involved. And then also, without the funds in place to do the exploratory trips, essentially they have to rely more on third-party producers. So you can Google international service learning, and you'll be inundated with these providers. And some are very good, and some basically are expats looking for students as a way to pay for their, international lifestyle.
Sounds sweet to me.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice like work. A retirement gig.
Nice work if you can get it, right? But what that does is it passes the costs associated with these providers onto the students. Like the average student debt for a Purdue graduate is pushing $30,000, and 51% of the graduates have this load of debt. And so it's already a really stretched time for them. And so it's really about democratizing these transformative experiences so that not all the rich kids get to study mm-hmm. abroad. That's just kind of, to me, really exciting because it means that you can open it up this type of experience to a wider variety of students.
I love that term that Colleen used, global citizenship, because to me that's a big part of what it's about. As a Purdue alum who got their undergraduate degree at Purdue, grew up in Indiana, barely left Indiana until I joined the Peace Corps, I don't think I had much awareness of the rest of the world. It was an abstract thing to think of another country. You read about it in the newspaper. The people there were abstract. I don't want to minimize anybody, but they were like paper dolls, right? And so once you have that experience, though, and you meet real people there, then when you read about people in other places in the news, they become real people to you, and the issues that they face become real issues, and you discover what we do here, particularly in a country like the United States that has the kind of influence that it has on the global economy and the global ecology, and sets the tone for other countries and their policies, that what we do has implications for these other people. Sort of back to Belize. I mean, Belize is a really good place to demonstrate that because, one, their currency is pegged to our currency, two Belize dollars to one U.S. dollar. So what we do here, they feel it directly. So right now in agriculture in Belize, it's really suffering because being pegged to the U.S. dollar and the dollar is strong, the ability to export agricultural products from Belize has evaporated, right? They're at the end of the supply chain, a costly prospect to start with, but then when you throw on this exchange rate disadvantage, they really suffer. And then I think the students, learn that they can make a difference through their efforts. If you dedicate yourself to something, that you can have an impact, whether that be changing the things you do here or supporting different policies here, or whether that means going there and applying yourself directly to a problem. And they discover their sameness with people in other places. They discover they have a lot more in common with somebody who speaks a different language or comes from a different culture than they thought they did. And certainly more in similarity than they do in difference. I don't know, it just breeds some responsibility.
That's great. I want to thank you, Ken, for agreeing to be the interviewee today.
My pleasure.
And thank you, Colleen, for coming over here. It's really interesting to hear what you're doing in Belize. I have to say I have a very personal affinity for study abroad because I actually studied abroad for 2 of my 4 years when I was an undergrad, and it was a life-changing experience. It truly altered the course of my life and how I perceive the world.
Gung-ho for study abroad.
We use the term transformative around here. It's one of those transformative experiences. Jessica, one of these days when your book is published here in the near future, we're going to turn the tables on this interview process.
Good heavens, that will be fun.
You've been listening to the Agricultural Economics Podcast here in the Agricultural Economics Department at Purdue University. You can go ahead and like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. And because Ken always does this part, I'm going to ask him to jump in. Ken, they can visit our webpage at
www.agecon.purdue.edu.
All right. Thank you for listening.